You know, you turn with me in God's word as you would find it in John chapter 14. We're going to be reading the first 14 verses there. If you're visiting with us and you haven't your Bible, there should be one on your pew there. And on the pew Bible, the page is 1082. We have been working through the I Am sayings of Jesus. We have this one and one next Sunday, and that's that little series will draw to a close. And today is quite an important day when Jesus really sets out a wonderful I Am. This is God's word. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him, and you have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse 11. We ask God to bless us, even as his word is being read. We're coming today to consider the one way. And if I were to ask you this morning, how do you get from Grey Abbey to Belfast, or Belfast, as it would be known down here? I'm sure there would be a various number of different answers given to that. You could go straight down through Dundonald. According to Google, that's 20 and a half miles, and it'll take you 43 minutes. I've travelled that road. Lots of traffic lights on it. So you may want to think of an alternate route. You can go up by the Clandeboy, 23.1 miles. Takes you 46 minutes, according to Google. Not a bad road, a couple of wee bumpy bits on it. But then you might want to take a more direct route, but not go down through Dundonald. You could go over the Craigantlet Hills, 21.2 miles, 45 minutes. There's not much between these three ways. And I'm sure you would all have opinions about each one and which one's the best. And of course, then it would depend on what time of the day you're traveling. Another question I want to ask you this morning. How would you get from Grey Abbey to heaven? Some people would say that you have to earn your salvation. You may have to go out and distribute literature around the doors, knocking door to door, talking to people, handing out stuff, attending meetings, going to conferences. But even after all of that's done, there's only a limited number of people that actually make it to heaven. There may be other people that say that salvation happens at baptism. We baptized two infant children this morning. They are not saved. I think I made that perfectly clear, but just to reinforce it, they will have to make a profession on their own as God speaks to them personally. But there are those who believe that in baptizing a child, they are then saved. They live a life then of sacramental ritual. But even then at death, you might not make it to heaven. You might end up on the middle kind of a ground. But people on earth can still do things on your behalf and pray for you, and then you might get to heaven on the credit of some other people. There are those who would say that salvation is automatic. That in our being, we were created to be good, and ultimately, we will all find a way to get to heaven. We pursue morality, trying to build up an understanding of nature, have personal aspirations to all things that are good. And that's how we get to heaven. There is a bit of debate about those three ways to Belfast. All three ways will get you to Belfast, and you guys might know some other better shortcuts than I've discovered in my short time here, but there's any number of ways and roads and paths. You could go 40 miles on a round trip and still end up in Belfast. There's only one way to get to heaven. Those three ways that I have described will not get you to heaven. I've chosen those three ways, and I'm not going to be foolish enough to name who believes them, just in case this goes on the internet and I end up on the Radio Ulster or something. These are ways that people that you know believe that they can get to heaven. Faith in Jesus alone. And interestingly, those three ways all have Jesus intertwined in their theologies and doctrines. But it's Jesus plus. Jesus plus good works. Jesus as a good moral teacher. Jesus as this and us as that. Jesus is the only way to heaven. That might trouble you this morning. It might trouble you because you know you're not on this way. It might trouble you because you know that there's people that you know and love who are not on this way. People who might believe some of these things that I've mentioned this morning, or any other menagerie of false beliefs about trying to get to heaven. Jesus' disciples here in chapter 14 were troubled, as I'm sure some of you are troubled this morning. But Jesus says to them, do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Their trouble was probably different from the trouble that we are facing this morning, but it's trouble nonetheless. You see, the disciples here in chapter 14 are sitting in the upper room with Jesus. They've been walking around with him, and now they've been sitting here celebrating the first communion, as it were. John doesn't tell us where that fits into the story, but they've either just had that first communion or they're about to have it. And Jesus is telling them a couple of things here. And if you have your Bible open with you, it might be helpful to look back at these verses. He says in chapter 13, verse 21, I tell you the truth, one of you is going to betray me. So here we have this band of brothers who have walked around and faced all sorts of problems and difficulties. They've witnessed some amazing things by Jesus, some of the greatest teaching they've ever heard. And now all of a sudden they're being told that someone in their number in this room is going to betray them. Further down that chapter, we see that Judas takes the bread, and he went out, and it was night. They don't understand what Judas was doing there. They're still trying to get their heads around that someone is going to betray them. And no sooner has Jesus told them that someone is going to betray them, that he then tells them that Peter, the rock, he was Jesus' kind of right-hand man. We always hear about the disciples. We hear about three disciples quite often, Peter, James, and John. It's always Peter first. Peter was the rock on which Jesus was going to build the church later on. But he was going to betray him. He says, surely not. Jesus says, I am going away. I have to go. You will see me no more. No, don't go, Lord. If you go, I will go with you to death. And Jesus says, no. You will disown me three times. So, of course, their hearts were troubled. Jesus tells them to trust in God and trust also in me. These men had faith in Jesus. They trusted in God. They had absolute trust in God. The strength of the word trust there is absolutely. They believed absolutely who God was. They were religious and righteous men. And Jesus is now saying, that trust that you have for God, you can place in me. I am the same as him. We are the same. Remember, I have told you, I am the bread of life. Whoever feeds on me will never grow hungry. They will never be thirsty. I am the light of the world. I am the gate to heaven. When you get to heaven, I am your shepherd as a sheep in that pen. I am the resurrection and the life. The last time we met, we asked the question, who wants to live forever? You can do that through Jesus because he is the power and authority of God. He's saying, trust in me because I am trustworthy. Jesus knew what he was doing. He knew where he was going after the upper room. He knew all that lay ahead of him over the next week and the next few days. Jesus knows the beginning from the end. He knows the trouble you are facing. And he knows what's going to happen next. Let not your hearts be troubled. Trust in Jesus. Have you put your trust in Jesus? But yet you're still troubled? Remember who he is. Brothers and sisters in Christ, remember, he is the bread, the light, the gate, the shepherd, the resurrection, and the life. Jesus with his disciples begins to build a lovely picture. He knows what's going to happen in the future. We know what happened next because we've got the gospel records and we've been able to read on through. But these guys were sitting, they didn't know what was going on. And Jesus says to them, in my Father's house are many rooms. I think this is a lovely picture. Heaven's described in many different ways in the Bible. It's described as a country. It's expansive and it's far-reaching. It's also described as a kingdom, with a king, with authority, with order. It's also described as a city, with citizenship, with belonging. And here it's described as a house, with rooms. Bringing all of that vast expanse of the kingdom of heaven right into its probably most intimate setting, in that room. You know what it's like, folks, at night, when you get the doors locked, and the family's in that room, and you ignore the phone when it rings, not in the manse. We do have color display, but we answer the phone. You know what it's like in those moments when it's intimate in the house with your family all together. That's what Jesus is painting here. That's the picture he is painting. The intimacy of heaven. This is a permanent dwelling place. And in that dwelling place is God. Look over at chapter 14, verse 23. If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come and make our home with him. God dwells personally and intimately with people who are in heaven. Now, this room is not a guest room. You know the way when you go on holidays, if you go to a travel inn or a travel stop, and you get your key, and you go up the lift, and it might open at the wrong floor, and then it opens at the right floor, but all the floors look the same because the carpet's all the same and the wallpaper's all the same. Then you walk down a corridor and all the doors are the same, and you get to the one with your number on it, and you open that door, and you know that all the other doors have the same carpet, the same wallpaper, the same curtains, the same bedding, the same terrible tea bags, and the same terrible UHT milk, and I don't know what the coffee's like, but they're all the same. All those rooms are the same. That's not what heaven's like. It's not just a series of rooms with a number. You're given a number and sent to a random room that's all the same. No, this room has been prepared for you. It's a permanent place. That's the truth. Jesus says it's the truth. I love the next wee bit. If it were not so, I would have told you. See if it was some other way. See if it was some other thing. Jesus would have told him that. I love this straight talking Jesus. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I am going there, he says. I am going there to prepare a place for you. Can you imagine the place that Jesus is preparing for you? Can you imagine it? I can imagine mine. Swing the big door open. Half the wallpaper is all to do with Liverpool Football Club. Yo! The other half then is to do with Vauxhall cars. Yo! There will be a picture of Ruth and the boys on the bedside locker right now. This is your room. Whatever the things that you enjoy, I don't know what's all going to be there. But this is your room. All the things that you have worked with, all the things that you're passionate about, will all find fulfillment in this, your personal room. Jesus must go. He has to go. His disciples don't want him to go. If he's going to go, they want to go with him, but they can't. Jesus must go and prepare these places for his disciples. Personal and permanent places. But not only does he have to go to prepare them, he has to go to prepare the way for us to get to them. Jesus says he is going to the cross. He is going to the cross to die in our place. He is going to the cross to take the punishment that our sins deserve. He went to the cross. He was nailed to it for you and for me. But he didn't stay there. Man, my clicker stopped working. Could you click the next one for me? Jesus went there for you. He went there for me. And then he said, I will come back. He is going to come back. That's what he tells his disciples. I am going there to prepare a place for you. I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. This may be the time whenever Jesus comes back to remove us from this scene of time. We all have a limited time on this earth. When we draw our last breath, Jesus is coming back. It may be the time that Jesus comes back when we're all out in a field or we're all sitting in church or lying in our beds at night. Jesus is going to come back and end this scene of time. And eternity will then begin. Jesus is going to come back and take those people who know him and love him, his disciples, to their personal, permanent dwelling place. That is some picture that Jesus is painting for his disciples. And he says to his disciples, you know the way. You know the way. So Jesus is excited at this point, I believe. You know the way, lads. You've been with me now. You've been with me for 3 years. Don't let your hearts be troubled. You know the way you trust God? Trust me. Let's go. I've told you all now. I revealed it all to you. Brilliant. I don't get it. Old doubting Thomas. Thomas throws the hand up, asks the question that I believe everybody in the room wanted the answer to, by the way. I think we're too sore on Thomas at times. Thomas says, we don't know the way. And I do sense a little bit of frustration in Jesus' voice when he gives him the answer. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him. And you have seen him. I am the way. Jesus is the way for those who believe. Is that you this morning? Do you believe who Jesus really is this morning? There's one notable absence in this upper room. There are not 12 disciples in this upper room. There are only 11 disciples. For one of those disciples, one of those followers, that promise was not his. Judas has left the room. Judas has gone out, and it was night. That's a reference in John's Gospel to darkness, spiritual darkness. Satan has entered him. He has given himself to Satan. He never fully believed in Jesus. He put other things first. Perhaps you're here this morning, and you believe that by participating in this worship service, that is enough. Perhaps you believe that by contributing into these bowls, that is enough. Perhaps you serve the church in some way and you think that is enough. If that's all you are thinking about this morning, this promise is not for you. From the oldest to the youngest in this room, this promise is not for you. Jesus asks him the question, don't you believe who I am? Then he goes on to say in verse 11, believe me when I say, He cannot be more emphatic than this. Believe me when I say, I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Believe the evidence of the miracles themselves. Believe me when I say, folks, that Jesus is the only way to heaven. He is the one way. That's why this verse is in here. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me, except through Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't get it. Maybe you want to try and get it. There's something going on in your mind and you want to know the way. Well, this morning, folks, we want to show you that way. We want to talk to you about that way. This morning, we believe so much in this passage of Scripture. Not that we believe in this passage of Scripture more than any other passage of Scripture, but we believe this morning that as we challenge you to think about Jesus being the way, we have a number of people who are praying at this moment in time. They may be praying for you as an individual. The answer to their prayer may be happening this morning as you begin to think about Jesus for yourself, your own personal faith. Perhaps it's a long time since you were baptized as a child. And it's been a long drawing process as God has revealed himself over the years to you more and more. But here this morning, God wants you, he's giving you that opportunity to have a personal faith in him. In a moment or two, we're going to end this service of worship and we're going to go around and have a cup of tea and a bit of crack. But round there will be people with little badges who are our prayer ministry people. They will speak to you this morning. They will just talk to you. They will not force you onto your knees or make you pray something that you don't want to pray. But they will talk to you about Jesus. They will give you some of the answers. If you don't know the way, if you don't know who the Father is, but he's speaking to you, and you don't understand the thoughts that are going on in your head this morning, please speak to someone in our prayer ministry team. They will take you to the side and they will have a chat with you. And by God's grace, you may meet the Savior this morning. What a wonderful day this would be. Better than any weather that's going out there. Better than any dinner that you're going home to face. Better than any plans you have for the rest of this day would be the plan to bring God into your life. We want you to have a glorious day. And we're going to sing a hymn at the end of this service. And a moment after I pray, we're going to sing that wonderful hymn, Glorious Day. But friends, here's the truth of the matter. The Bible is very clear to us that we do not know when Jesus returns. And the truth of the matter is this. Jesus may return when we're singing this hymn. Jesus may return as I pray a prayer at the end of this sermon. Jesus may return on your walk out through the door around for that cup of tea before you meet someone in our prayer ministry team. So we're going to take an opportunity now, just at the end of this service here right now, to pray. And if you're here and you know and love the Lord, well, just be delighted in your heart that you have prayed this prayer, that you have done that business, that you have Jesus as your own personal Savior. Perhaps there's someone sitting to your left or right, sitting in front of you, that you know and love, who's not on that right way. As we pray, pray for them. Pray that the Holy Spirit would move the way he moved in your life, revealing Jesus to you. So let's all bow our heads, unite our hearts in prayer, and then we will sing Glorious Day. Lord God, we thank you that you are the author of salvation. We thank you that it's not down to us. Lord, we cannot even create what we call an anxious thought. You reveal the Scriptures, through the Scriptures, to us of our sin. You reveal to us our need of a Savior. You've revealed that Savior to us. And you've revealed how we can be reconciled, how we can be brought back into relationship with you, so that here on earth, we will live with you, so that when our time is up or when Jesus returns, that we are assured of a place with you, a permanent and personal dwelling place in heaven. Lord, we ask that in this moment, as we pray, that you would reveal that to those amongst us who are lost, who even on this brightest day have maybe come through this door in darkness and face the prospect of leaving this room still in darkness. Lord, we ask that you would reveal their sinful position to them, that they would confess that in their own hearts. Lord, I am a sinner. Lord, I know that I am not on the way that leads to my personal and permanent dwelling place. Lord, I know that Jesus is my Savior. Lord, I want to turn from my sin. I want to turn to you and accept Jesus as my Savior. Lord, we pray this morning that that will be on the hearts of many in this room. Lord, we offer these prayers to you in and through Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let's all stand and sing together this wonderful song about what Jesus has done for us and what a glorious day it is whenever we realize that for ourselves.